of what she says in that book.
And by the way, in the back of the book they show a picture of her wearing something, I guess she calls it hijab. She says, for example, that the Quran specifically called for equal rights for both men and women in divorce. And if you go to the Quran, I know what verse she's basing this on. And this is where we talk about methodology, we'll talk about how they take a general verse, or if we're Hanafi, the Hanafi and also Rizal, they call it a verse which is Zahar, which has the meaning which is open to many, interpretations, and they prefer that verse over a verse which is Mufassir, or which is more explained and more detail, which is of course the exact opposite of what Usul Tuk says should do. With respect to, for example, the verse in the Quran about what women should wear, and it says, إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا, she says that this command in the Quran signifies recommending a conformance with the prevailing customs of a region or period, and says nothing about a necessity for the veil or for all enveloping wraps. Then left only the hands exposed. Basically, she's saying is that according to this verse, no matter what the women are wearing, and even if it's miniskirts up to here and topless, she says this verse says it's okay. Because the verse is just saying you should wear what is customary among the people. Also, she praised Qasim Amin as someone who, and we talked about him last time briefly, someone who is emancipating women from an Islamic point of view. And here's an argument that Abu Saud might like. She talks about who was the first, to show you how far, it's like the feminists in the United States. The feminists were way beyond any logical, you cannot logically argue for what they're saying in any way. Unfortunately, she seems to be influenced by that. Because she talks about the word nafs. She said Allah, the first creator, the first human being, Allah describes it as nafs. And she said nafs is a feminine word. But for some reason, because of the influence of the Old Testament, and in the Quraniyat, she says, the Muslim scholar says the first human was a man, even though nafs is feminine, so therefore, it should have been a woman. And she produced the verse in Surah Al-Imran, which says that Isa, the similitude of Isa, and all that say, is the same as Adam, or also the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad SAW. As I mentioned earlier, unfortunately, they have institutions. They have organizations. They have lots of money. Unfortunately, they're very organized, and unfortunately, they're very good at what they're doing. And spreading this way of looking at Islam, they spread it through different ways. They spread it, for example, through their magazines. They spread it through their TV shows. Just to give one example, and one of the magazines that comes from the Islamic Center of Southern California, which is, I believe, the contributing editors or the scholar hand or whatever, or the advisors of Mahar Hakroth and Fatih Othman. And first of all, in the recent issues of this magazine, called The Minaret, coming from the Islamic Society of Southern California, in every one of the recent issues, they have to show a woman, a successful Muslim woman, who they describe, without hijab. They have to. For example, in one case, they bought the woman, and they said, MashaAllah, and they talked so nice about her, and she does work off being there, so she can work at home. She can work at home, that's good. That means she's not going to have any problem wearing hijab and so forth. And they show a picture of her without hijab. The next issue, they talk about Muslims graduating from college, and they show a Muslim woman without hijab. And they're showing successful, quote-unquote, successful Muslim women, that if our Muslim youth see these women, they're going to think or try to be similar to them. They also have a TV show which they call Islam on the Air, right? It's produced by the same people. This is the Minaret. They put a picture from this TV show. This is their TV show presumably spreading Islam. This program that they have on TV, unfortunately, and they're spreading it throughout the entire United States, and it is representing their version of Islam and the Islamic movement. But even you can see from the and the Islamic movement or the people who follow this, and there's no question that the host of the show is going to have to be a woman. That's true. Not only is she going to have to be a woman, but of course she's going to have to wear as much makeup as she can. And to compete with, I guess, Candy Faye Baker. This is the example that they take. But inside, they show other pictures from the TV show. And I don't think you can see it very well. But here are a bunch of men and women sitting together. Some of the women are not, and even their dresses don't go all the way down to the floor. Who are sitting together, or standing together practically arm to arm. And you can see that, in fact, they are kissing. Men and women touching each other. I mean, they don't seem to have any problem with that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to the Muslim women not to speak to men in such a way and in a flirtatious way. And this is actually talking to a non-Muslim here, interviewing a priest, and they're laughing together. And here's another meeting of a number of women, and the dress that the women are wearing hardly goes below the knee. And he has that view, so it's not seen very well from what you're seeing. And this TV show, which as I said, they are spreading throughout the United States, this is what they're claiming is Islam. And he not just these pictures, these are minor things, but the thoughts that they're giving also are any of the types of things that I've been talking about today. So if you look at the institutions, if you look at the even some of the conventions, sometimes they're dominated by people of this way of thinking. And if you look at the literature which is available, including this magazine, which is one of the quality-wise, it looks like one of the best, unfortunately, of the magazines which are available. And if you consider all these factors, you'll realize why the Islamic movement is very strong. As well as the other facts that I mentioned, is unfortunately the few scholars that are, or we have very few scholars that could refute them, and some of those even who could refute them do not refute them. And plus, this is a very easy brand of Islam. But as we'll talk about later, unfortunately, this is a very easy brand of Islam. But the question is how much, and where do you draw the line between actually the person who's following this madhab is within the realm of Islam or not. I think to end over that, I will end the talk and open the floor for comments or suggestions. And remember, we're not finished. So there's lots of aspects that we have not discussed today. And now I'm just presenting some of their views and some of the influence in the United States. There are other aspects about their methodology or their premises and some of their points, and quoting them in detail and discussing these points in detail. Inshallah, those will be in the future, inshallah. I hope it's not this question.
And second thing, I think this is my personal opinion, it's not from the Islamic religion, it's not the Islamic itself. Nobody can call what I say to the Islamic behalf. But actually what that is, the man was saying is not only in America, actually part of the same quality is lived by the modern so-called. And as you see in any group of this background, a certain change is his way of life. Even born Muslim, you will see a difference in his life once he accepts now the life, going to the Muslim, human society. But in this country, which is led by modernity, you will never see, there is no problem for him to come from the gate to the beach. He will stay the way he was. He can talk to the girl. So whatever was going to happen, he will be just a member of that. Unfortunately, it's not only America, also some of the countries. This is not there. The other point, unfortunately, they are calling our new Muslim brothers from the States. Because they would come and see the open heart and they want to accept this man on a whole life, change their name. But they come and not change their name. They would see many, many brothers who accept this man, they would tell you their own name. Not only the way they look, but even their name, they don't have the opportunity to change their name. This is about this because I'm from California, Southern California.
From the home.
Yeah.
One of the two centers there.
Yeah. I don't think they are alone. I think I can say some parents are a lot of other parents. Especially in my family. First of all, where do they get this online? I think I can go to that. Now the problem is because of their mind, as you mentioned, TV show. They say they sell it, but I think they are in it for 3 to 5 plant centers. But to be very fair, I think we can group this into 3 groups. Like this plant center is known well from the mother. It's way, way beyond that.
They are leaving. They are leaving the church.
Leaving. Like South of Sibir also is another unity or whatever you call it. I mean, he doesn't base his Islamic writing to anywhere of the hadith or any understand. So that's another thing. Now, the last question is, where does ethnic stand? I know some of these are very active members, but because a certain group are very reason, even to ethnologists, is think of them as behind. Where does some of the people you mentioned they are present here? And I unfortunately, of course, whatever, I was present this year, and this was my first year attending. I will not be happy in charge of it, but they are not the same group. So then, where do you speak as an organization?
Can I say I could tell you some stories about that mosque, and which it is in a better situation now than it was some time ago. Like in, as you said, man, the amount of money that they have and other things, and it seems very strange. I mean, the problem with the ethnic has many branches. For example, the ACP, sports edition, American Church Publication. American Church Publications are the ones who published Yusuf Ali's book of Tafsir. They are the ones who published Mrs. Farooq's book and made it, yani, they tried to spread it as one of the best books available. They are the ones who published Jamal Bellamy's small pamphlet, in which he mentioned some of the things that I mentioned here. They are also, they were even going to publish, if you know Kareem Omar. They're going to publish a book by Kareem Omar. Kareem Omar is beyond Fatwa Osman. Like, alhamdulillah, just before they published it, she joined Rashid Khalifa's group, so they decided not to publish it. So from that aspect, yani, they are to blame just as much as anyone else. With respect to the conventions also, yani, some of their conventions have been completely dominated by scholars and excessive views. For example, Hassan Qurabi has been invited many times. Last year, Muhammad al-Ghazali was invited. Now, even beyond that, they invite Mustafa Shakun, Janet Cazuto, almost always invited to come and speak. And so, the problem with Isna is that they have never taken a stand on what they believe as Islam. And they don't believe to do so. They want to be an umbrella organization taking any Muslim. I've discussed this with Ahmed Zaki, the president before him, Qutb al-Mahdi, and many others in the past, and other people who worked with this, Dawood Zwing. And they will not take a stand. In the late 70s, when there was a big dispute between Sunni and Shia, they will never come out and say, well, the Shia believe this, and Sunni believe this. They're not willing to do that. And if they do the same thing, with respect to the Athmaniyya movement, and in fact, they are not saying anything about the Athmaniyya movement, and as you said, they are. Yani, if the Ahmadi movement infiltrates them, or publishes through them, or lectures through them, they do not do anything. And they may not be the leaders, but they are to blame in the sense that they are not doing anything about it. we hold it up. You'll never hear a speech at an ethnic convention, someone standing up refuting any of these things that I said. And they don't believe in that. They don't believe in that because they want to believe in an umbrella organization. This is their theory. This is what they think. And by doing this, they will do the best for Islam. But unfortunately, I don't think so.
Yeah, they're two headquarters
for them. One of them is in the West Coast, the other one is in the East Coast. Well, and it's not coffee was one of the founders of the Triple IP, along with Tom Jill's wife, actually, was one of the founders. And next time, I'll talk about some of their people and some of their talks, like Abdulhamid Abu Suleiman, who unfortunately now is the head of the Islamic University in Malaysia, and some of their writing. But they are one of the leaders. They are more the ideological leaders, while these people put in the practice. Not this brother.
You mentioned about Abdullah Yusuf Ali family, and I think quite a number of different scholars here are aware of the different things in their customs. But my question is, if you wanted to do that, do you have any alternative for that?
Actually, as you mentioned, many scholars are aware of the shortcomings, and so there have been now two revised editions. And both, alhamdulillah, are much better than the other ones. So you have now, alhamdulillah, the revised edition.
So they
have
nothing to do with
the revised edition? Yes. For example, ACP now has now published a revised edition. They are distributing it. And also there is another revised edition that the other Sheikh Ibrahim worked on, and is being distributed by many people. Alhamdulillah, this form, inshallah, at least part of it will be solved.
How about the one that's written by this
side? It's a original. This is one of the, this is the revised one that Jabba Shah Abdi.
It doesn't say revised by Jabba.
No, it was a group, and it wasn't just Jabba. Jabba said, I'm very happy they didn't put my name because I don't want to be responsible for it. Jabba Shah Abdi.
I have a comment. You know, I'm really surprised and shocked by what I heard, especially from a person who spent a big part of his dollar time within number and an active member responsible for the different states in his book. And if a person like to look at any kind of organization, of course you can take a lot. Like one good idea, there's a lot of other universities in the world, in the Muslim world, that we can go. Why did you choose the United States? Number one enemy for the Muslims to come and study here. What's the reason? One of the main reasons, because what they have is an education system may be good. We don't care about, you know, it. But the idea is, usually as a Muslim and as Da'iya, we always like to, we go to school, we sit with women. I don't think any one of you here will go and talk to women or sit with women in the class and then we go, this is necessity. It, you know, the idea is we have to be, it's very specific by what we are, what we need. If you want to ask Muslim, we should ask Muslim all the time in every aspect. We should understand Islam and let our heart through our belief, let our behavior take over. But the idea of saying that this is how this is safe and this is how this is safe. I remember hearing one of the lectures a few years long, way back, talking about Yaman Badr saying he's one of the best scholars. If you take his book off of the shelf, you will not have enough books to read.
I can assure you that I never said that about Yaman Badr. Space missions coming to board.
No.
I can assure you that I never said that about
Yaman Badr. The lecture that you gave in
and I have talking about
you talked about, you were asked about what are the Muslim people that is, and a Muslim after Islam. How was it here? Certainly, talking the case of Yaman Badr was a fire. Certainly, not Yaman Badr was something that was
okay. This is not in borders. Yes. This could have been a long time ago, before number one Yaman Badr came, and before I changed my opinion about it. And you have to consider it. Don't say it wasn't voted, because the last 4 years, 5 years I've been here, I can assure you I never said such a thing about you.
I didn't say it.
No, you did say it. You did say it.
I heard it say that what I mean, I heard it here, but I did. What does that mean? That we can't change our ideology, our thinking, and our the way we look into Muslims? Is it so how we feel? Or is it that how the sign of the Prophet needs to do? You say that the behavior of a Muslim is compared to certain things. You know, it seems to be that we're sitting here instead of learning something, we're basically making riba about other people that they are not here to defend themselves, or about something, what could we learn, or what can we learn about it? The message of this mosque is to teach us something that we can use in our life as Muslims, and not to kind of like link it to the island. I have a question. Every one of us has been here at periods of time. Who are those one meant this to the mosque? One Muslim to the mosque. Who are took an Islamic book in English? We never do that. For people who sit down and write this Quran and spend half of their life writing the Quran, and we come here and we ask, what is the best translation for the Quran? The Torah Muhammad is writing. Now suddenly, here we are sitting. We are not a good people qualified by having a Muslim to sit down and put a person down like you come and just find it. I don't think we're qualified. What did we put to Islam? We didn't put anything. How many persons became Muslim in our hands? Nothing. How many papers did we write in Islam? Zero. So how can we sit down and we look at Torah that they left their country and decided to stay here and put all their da'wah, their number of Muslims became Muslim in their hands? Number. My wife is Muslim. She will never listen to any person, but except you to Jamal Bedouin. Because what we said makes sense. You too, maybe. I don't know. But the idea is, we have to be in a position where we can sit down and say, this is wrong, and this is bad, and this is not acceptable, this is acceptable as Muslim. Otherwise, it's Rinda. Allah has made a Rinda. And that's what I my opinion. This, you know, we would like to make those lectures more directed to something that we can learn, something we can apply to make our life as Daya in Moldova and in American society. And since you are one of the Muslims here, we would like you to tell us something about that. You know, this is my interest. I was sitting here and I was shocked. I never heard a lecture that, like that before from you. I mean, I that's what I have to say. Just to make it clear for the brother that those people, this is Jamal Bedouin, Qaradawi, one Arab in Isna. And this was Qaradawi, he saw the woman sitting up there. He said, isn't that an educational place? Honestly, here to learn Islam, why are the women sitting all the way up on the Eastern district? And this was Qaradawi, I don't think anyone doesn't know this for Qaradawi and his effort in Islam and his sacrifice and his knowledge. He's a scholar.
To change the matter of thinking, the moment thing. Would you like to comment?
He wants to maybe.
Well, you see, the man is not here. I don't know what he did recently. If you want to comment, you can comment on the table he sent to Yusuf Karlal and let me answer that. You see, what he is saying is, Yusuf Karlal was here last year. And we, and 4,500 people from the Muslims, was there, and no one question was asked against something he did or against the
man. And when he brought the women into the women into the men's section, you think people did not tell him?
Well, he tell him that, yeah, what did he tell him?
I left before that, but I know, for example, I'm away, I don't want to get into an emotional argument, but in the Asraniya movement,
what is Asraniya? Define Asraniya movement. I don't understand. Because
you weren't here last time.
You came late today.
And you're busy, so don't blame us if we didn't define Asraniya movement.
I have my excuse.
So don't blame me. Don't be able to say what's Asraniya movement.
You start attacking big guys and you know that, you know. What is Asraniya? What do you exactly define Asraniya? And I think this is something basic. If you start any lecture, you should define it. I think you should define what is Asraniya exactly.
But okay, who can? Asraniya movement is a very dangerous movement because it's able to fool many people. Because some of the people now who are joining it are people who are well respected. Okay? And who should refute them? Do you think I haven't sat down with Jamal Bedouin and discussed some of these issues? I sat down face to face with him and he said to me, Wallah, he said that I will change this.
and it's saying polygamy. He said, I would change this. Not only did he not change it, I heard him a week later saying exactly the same thing.
Okay.
I mean, we cannot just say, go to John Barrow and talk to him, because we go to him and he continues.
Okay.
There has to come a time that we have to speak. Okay? And then now he said, who should speak? Someone who writes. Someone who does this. You yourself said, I was an active member in ISNA. I was a member of Majlis Ashura.
Right.
I translated Tukul Sunnah for them. I've written lots of things.
Right.
But so what's your point?
And
also, if I make a mistake in my writing, I expect someone to correct me. That's the way of a Muslim. And if I make a mistake, someone should come to me and say, this is wrong. What you wrote here was wrong.
Yeah, Mazarian, we know those people as a very good scholar, very people that put that. I can bring him another. I can call him another and ask him to come over here next week if you want. I can beg him to come here, and maybe you can sit down with him and then do some kind of let the guy decide for himself, because it seems that you know everything about Jamal Baru that you don't know.
And well, I have lots of experience with Jamal Baru. See, when I speak, I'm speaking on my experience. What I've seen, what I've read, what I've discussed with these people. Again, the point is that if we like someone, and as I mentioned last time in the introduction to the lecture, I mentioned some very important points. One of the points is we're not judging these people's intentions. I talked about the Mu'tazila. I said some of them, their intention was to save Islam, and from the writings it seems that their intention was to save Islam. Fadl Rahman, one of the most extreme of the modernists. And if you write about why he took the modernist position and his what he wrote about himself, my belief in action, if you believe what he's saying, and his goal 100% is trying to save Islam. Because he thinks that if we don't change Islam, it's going to be destroyed. So first of all, I'm not talking about their intention. Secondly, if someone does something which is good, if someone decides something which is good, this doesn't mean that we have to sit and be quiet about the bad that he does, if that bad has a bad effect. We have to do something about it. We cannot just sit quietly. And I discussed with possibly before whether I should name people or not name people. I've given these lectures many times now. Sometimes I don't name anyone who's involved. But if I don't name anyone who's involved, what I found is these people continue to their influence increases. And if the person doesn't know I'm talking about, for example, Jamal Baru, he just goes right back to Jamal Baru's book. And there's other things that I didn't mention. And we have to be aware of these people. And this approach, Yani, that we are just silent. And this is ghibah. This is the same thing that the Sufis said to the scholars of Hadith, that when you make Jahul Tahdir, this is ghibah. Yani, if you're doing it for the sake of Islam, to point out the mistakes of these scholars so that we can be aware of them.
Why does he write a book and answer it? And he
writes
a book.
Write a book? What's the difference between writing a book and a lecture? You want me to write a book and give it to 5,000 people instead of lecturing to 20 people?
No, he didn't come to all the Muslims in the United States and told them certain things. You are telling us.
I told you I discussed these things with him. And in fact, in one of my lectures, I was refuting him. And what he did is he just walked out. He had a chance to stand up and say whatever he wanted to. He just walked out. The point is, I understand your point. We should give everyone the benefit of the doubt. These are all our brothers. If they're doing work for Islam, we have to appreciate their work. And if they are making minor mistakes, we should be quiet about it. But if they are not...
Let them say that from the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you see your brother making a mistake, you say to his brother.
Sorry.
This is what Peter is not doing. He's not making up of his brother, his brother is not here. He's telling us, I told the people that they are scholars, that we know about their activity. They are good Muslims. And if there is any doubt in anyone's mind, and you, right now, you're telling everybody here that Islam is nothing. And if you take Islam from the Islamic activity in the United States, you will have.
I didn't say Isna is nothing. I said Isna has a theory. I said Isna has. Yeah, as you know, I used to be in Majlis Ashura.
Yeah,
as you know, I
have. You used to be one of them. You got out, and now you basically.
What did I say about Isna? I said the problem with Isna is that they have the idea that they should encompass everyone and not criticize anyone. And unfortunately, through their publications and through their conventions, they are giving these people a field to talk. And they are not saying anything about it.
No, 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 I am exactly. I just want to draw the lot of them I know here. Isn't that something? Our Islamic society here.
Yes. I mentioned the fact also that Islam has many branches. For example, I talked about ATP. The point is that sometimes we have to point out some mistakes. Sometimes we have to. This Akhbaniya movement is probably the strongest movement in the United States right now. Thanks to the money and the productions of these people, of the TV shows that they're putting out, and of people who unfortunately are spreading their ideas. Whether they know it or not, they are spreading their ideas. It is the largest movement right now, and we have to be aware of it. We have to understand what they're saying, we have to understand what they're basing it on, and we have to be able to show the Muslims where they're wrong. And this is now the second step. We have to see what's the influence, which is what I tried to do today. Had you been here earlier, I defined what are the different steps that we're indicating in this.
I'm getting to the brother for it.
Wait, you get going for the brother. So don't criticize me.
No.
Don't be mad with me. And probably it's better you not to comment this.
No, yeah, you can comment that with me.
You want something that's...
I'm mad with something.
I think you are mad with me.
So, but saying that you said about other brother, that's all.
I talked with Brother Jamal quite a bit and sometimes privately. I trust him very much, and I think what he's talking about in this lecture and in the previous lecture, we really have to do that, because I also came from a background where you have to show the right from the bad. If you don't do that, then these people will come and ruin Islam, basically. Because, we are not going to sit down. Actually, I was going to ask him how are we going to fight them in terms of this. Because, no, they are spreading very bad ideas, and that's not good. I mean, you have to fight them. If you don't fight them, they are going to turn the Islamic movement somewhere that they are going to be lost. I've seen that in my country, and I've seen that in other people too. When they are affected by those leaders, that sometimes maybe they were good, and then they changed over time. And now you have to point out that. Some authors of some good books, I'm not going to name anybody right now, but they were good and now they changed, and I read about them, and now, you have to be careful. We don't have to be dumb about it. We have to be very intelligent, and we are educated people, so we have to make a judgment, and we cannot just take any leader or author in Islam and just take his word for granted. We have to judge ourselves, not just by ourselves, but also by maybe listening to that or reading some other books and then make our judgment. And also we have to clear that to other Muslims. That does not mean that once we hear something that we make a judgment right away. We have to maybe study it, maybe you have to ask, maybe you have to go back and teach ourselves how to maybe judge these things. But we really have to study that.
And yes, and if it was just some point to whether you have to make a rule from this or not, I'm not going to even mention it. But when he gets to the point, for example, he's saying this is some sunnah that the Prophet said to him, make it to her. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not correct it.
Just the problem hasn't happened reading that enough. Now, he doesn't say something like that. He's scared. He will start to stay on him and let him comment and finish.
I don't know about these callers, but there are some points you found that can have different interpretations.
Yeah.
People can have different interpretations.
Yeah.
And I think it becomes dangerous when you equalize all these callers at the same level. Like somebody who has different views on human rights, or somebody who thinks that we are micro.
And the Mishkan is the
Minhaj.
يعني his methodology. As we have done clearly, يعني there's four ways to make mistakes. We'll discuss, يعني if he has wrong intention, he's not sincerely speaking the truth. And I do not say that for any of these people. But I think if their premises or their philosophy or their basic assumptions are wrong, or if their methodology is wrong, or they are missing some detailed events related to the problem. If the methodology is wrong, okay, or the basic assumptions are wrong, and this is a difference, especially if the person is someone as influential and has the benefit, I can find many women, especially women. Especially women, they are not listening to anyone except Jonas Berger. And in this summer council, and if the women were upstairs, the men were downstairs. And the brother, you know, the brother was in charge, and he was just insisting on that they want to sit downstairs with the men. Some of them, of course, not all of them. Well, the Jonas Berger is coming from the airport, he hasn't even arrived, he's turning about two blocks away, just a few minutes away. And somehow they know that Jonas Berger is coming now, ask him if we can sit downstairs. And if he has that much influence, then if he's doing something wrong, it becomes even that more important to point out his mistake. If he has no influence, if what he is doing didn't matter, and then we bring up and say, let's talk about this guy, then you can say, look, you're not doing, he's just wasting our time. He's making real money, he's trying to attack that guy. But what we're trying to do is to attack Islam, and as Brother Ali says, there's something which there. And it's clear that there are some things which have different opinions. But if the minhaj goes against the minhaj of the Ahl-Sunnah or Jama'ah, which is one of the lectures that I said we'll talk about. And the minhaj of the Akramiyyah and compared to the minhaj of Ahl-Sunnah or Jama'ah, then when it comes to this point where the minhaj is wrong, then actually there are some Ahl-Sunnah. Actually. And you can't avoid the thing.
There
are
some
of them that you can see according to the religion. Yeah, go on. And I would say a couple. I'm saying that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is right. He left that. He said that the relation is similar to the hallucinations that the crazy people have.
So what do you call that?
Should we say that we shouldn't say anything about it? You say this is a good man, let's be quiet?
I don't know.
So, okay, he's dead. So we cannot talk to him. So does that mean we can't say anything? Abdullah Yusuf Ali is dead. If we distribute his Quran in the way of the room, it's okay, he's dead. We can't talk to him. So therefore we can't say anything.
You are giving the big Muslims the biggest Quran. You gave me some Quran
to some
people that
understand
Quran.
Who is doing that today?
Wait, then what tradition would seem if we do the good that people have? And let the people know about the good thing that people have. Why should we come to... I guess we are...
This is one of the mistakes in Amr bin Malik and not in Munkar. And it's a very big mistake. To think that you cannot stop someone Munkar until you are perfect. You cannot criticize someone until you are perfect.
I'm not saying perfect.
Well,
at least you're not being...
You're going perfect. You are saying I have mistakes today, so I can say anything. Yeah, there will never be any problem in the world with
that. Let me point out one thing. There is a very important point that every Muslim should understand is Islam does not equal to Muslim. If a Muslim commits a mistake or made a mistake, that does not mean that Islamists, they should make a separation. So we should point out if somebody in a good place that makes judgments about these persons. We cannot talk about people without knowledge, that's for sure. But if you know something about somebody and you are sure about that, say he's definitely wrong, then why
should any quote that I gave you today? Other quotes that you can say if you fill out maybe we can accept them or not. Or are they very clear? For example, Mrs. Al-Khalifi saying that the person for Ibn Abba Minha means that the woman should wear whatever is normal on her body. Is there any Muslim who said that any Muslim scholar who says that? Means that the environment of the woman with mini skirt or bikini, that means the Muslim woman is allowed to wear bikini because they have that's what Ibn Abba Minha. And who says such a thing? I'm taking extreme quotes actually. If I was taking anything to show ourselves, well, maybe you can say, this is your opinion, this is your mother and so forth, but I am taking extreme proof. But if this is my mother, I said, well, I took an extreme proof. I didn't take any word which we could argue about.
فهل معنى الزمن في زكاتها لا تعني هذا المعنى
أفضلت
هذا المعنى أو
لا يعني أمورك
دلت على أن المعنى يحصل في
مثل التكين أو أمورك يعني
أنا
تجي ليه تقول كويس ويجي هنا يقول
أنا بعد
قالوا
الكلام
يا
أستاذ